reading, Lord, and may you be glorified and magnified today, and may our hearts, we who are your people, rejoice over these wonderful truths that we'll look at, that you're ever with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we're going through, Lord, you are ever beside us as a great shepherd of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the last verse of Genesis chapter 37, and then we'll go to Genesis 39, where the story of Joseph picks up again. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. And the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, or sold him into Egypt under Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. So we see here that Joseph is sold to Potiphar, who is an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of his guard. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Now let us always remember too, as we've went through this study, that we've seen Joseph as a type of Christ. Already, just in chapter 37, we've seen Joseph as a type of Christ. Joseph was the son of his father's old age, and Christ is the son of the Ancient of Days. So there's one type. Joseph was beloved by his father over all his brethren. Christ is the dear son of his father's love. The dear son of his father's love. Jacob made for Joseph a coat of many colors, and God prepared a body in human nature for the word of God, for Christ. Filled and adorned with the various gifts and graces of the Spirit without measure. Without measure. Joseph was hated by his brethren. They could not endure to think he should have dominion over them. The Jews rejected Christ. Rejected Christ. Who, according to the flesh, he's God incarnate in the flesh. He's the Messiah. And they rejected him and they hated him. And in their actions and in their words, they said, "We'll not have this man reign over us." Joseph was sent by his father on a long journey to visit his brethren. We know the welfare, to find out the welfare of them and of the flocks. Well, Christ was sent from heaven to earth to seek and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Joseph's brethren, when they saw him come to them, they conspired to take away his life. The Jews received not Christ. Scripture says he came unto his own, but they received him not. And he said, "This is the heir, let us kill him." And they consulted to take away his life too. Joseph was stripped of his clothes and sold for 20 pieces of silver at the motion of Judah, and Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver and was stripped of his clothes by the Roman soldiers. You see the types and pictures here? Joseph was delivered into the hands of foreigners, the Midianites, the Ishmaelites, and Christ is delivered into the hand of the Gentiles. Joseph, being thought of as dead by his father, was yet alive. Again, this is a picture of Christ's death and resurrection from the grave. So with all this in our minds, let's now look at chapter 39. And we'll read verses 1 to 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Look at that. You know the Lord was with Joseph when his father gave him a coat of many colors. And the Lord was with Joseph when Jacob sent him to see his brethren. And the Lord was with Joseph when his brethren stripped him of his coat and threw him into a pit. And the Lord was with Joseph when he was sold to the Ishmaelites. And we see here, and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian, of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So let us remember that Joseph was on his way to Egypt, because that's what our sovereign Lord had purposed. That's what our sovereign Lord had purposed. Joseph, at the time when he was sold into slavery, had absolutely no idea that he was on his way to the position of prime minister over all of Egypt. He had no way of knowing this. He had no way of knowing this. He was to be prime minister over all of Egypt to save much people alive during the time of famine. We'll see that later on in our study. And this all came about by the sovereign hand of God. But he must get from Dothan to Egypt. Well, we saw how that happened. And look at verse 1 of Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now we who are the born-again people of God know that our great majestic God has a reason for everything that he does. We don't always understand it, do we? Most times we don't understand it at all. We don't understand what's happening, but when we go through situations, we trust our great sovereign God, don't we? We trust that he's in full control. Knowing that he's working all things for our good and for his glory. This is what he does. And take note of the words of verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. He was with Joseph. And we know this to be true of every born-again, blood-bought saint of God. Every believer can look at that verse and say, the Lord's with me. He's with me all the time. Because we know in Hebrews it says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. So this is true of every believer. In times when we feel and know the presence, and in times when we don't, he's ever with us. Ever with us. Humanly speaking, when Joseph sold off into slavery, the world would say, what? The Lord's with him? Yes, he's with him. We know by faith that he's with us. We know he's with Joseph during this time. So we know that it was God's purpose for Joseph to rule over all of Egypt in time. That's the key, in time. In time. But Joseph was a young man when Potiphar bought him, and Joseph needed to be prepared for the position that God had ordained for him. And think of this, our great God has Joseph taken down to Egypt. When Joseph was at home, the Lord was with him again. When he was sent away from his dear father, the Lord was with him. And when he was sold as a slave, the Lord was with him. Picture in your minds the slave market. See, these are things that we often forget. Picture in your mind the slave market. It's not some fancy place. They're selling humans as merchandise. So picture Joseph's at a slave market to be bought and sold. And think of what's going through his mind. He was in his father's house maybe a few months before that. With his brothers and his family. And now he's standing on the slave block being auctioned off to whoever would purchase him. Not dressed in fine array. Stripped down probably to almost nothing. And he has no idea what the Lord has in store for him. Will he get a good master or will he get a bad master? Will one purchase him, will treat him good, or will I get a slave owner who's cruel to him? He's standing there to be sold off like an animal. And always remember, the scripture proclaims here before us, the Lord was with Joseph even at that time. Even at that time. And there he stood to be sold. And he fell into good hands, didn't he? All by the eternal purpose of God. All by the eternal purpose of God. There could not have been a better place for Joseph to be instructed in the things that were waiting for him under Pharaoh's rule. Now remember, he doesn't know it, but he's going to be prime minister. And we'll see that he gets placed in Potiphar's house where he's going to learn how to oversee things. And he had no idea that he would be exalted to the second most powerful position in all of Egypt. He had no idea at all. So he's purchased by Potiphar. And then we'll see he's put in charge of the affairs of Potiphar's house. And remember, as we see in verse 1, that Potiphar is an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. And some folks think that he's the captain of the bodyguards of Pharaoh. Some people also think that he was the captain of what's called the slaughterers, the executioners, those who would do whatever Pharaoh bid. But we know he was a high-ranking officer in Pharaoh's court. We know that. And remember, all this time, God's preparing Joseph for the position that he will assume, prime minister over all of Egypt. And this is how our great God even equips his ministers before he calls them to preach the gospel. As Pastor Henry Mahan said, a man can no sooner tell someone something he does not know than he can come back from a place where he's never been. The reason I preach and proclaim Christ is he saved me. He saved my soul. I once was lost. But now I'm found. And he's sent me to preach the gospel. And that's the message that's proclaimed. Salvation in and through Christ alone. I couldn't tell you about Christ unless I've experienced salvation in him. I couldn't tell you about Oregon except I lived out there. Right? And you guys will tell me about places you lived at that I never lived at. But I couldn't tell you about those places. Do you see? A man can't tell something he doesn't know. And so God's preachers have a message. And God will equip his preachers, his pastors, his evangelists, his missionaries before he sends them to preach. Think of this. An infant learns to crawl before they learn to walk, right? And then they learn to walk. And then they learn to run. And God's preachers suffer many falls and trials and tribulations just like every other saint of God. And these things again are working out for God's glory. And so Joseph is being prepared for the position that he will assume. And we see that God's preparing him. We'll see that in these next few verses. He does not know that he's being prepared. No. But the Lord's preparing him. Look at verses 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. In his hand. Take note again of verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And in verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord was ever with Joseph. watching over him, guiding him, directing him. And we'll see later in the study, protecting him from sin with Potiphar's wife. We'll see that next week, how the Lord protected him from that. Now, he ended up in a place where he didn't think he was going to end up, but there's even a picture there with the two inmates that he's in there with. So we see that Joseph was taken from the slave block where he was purchased. And we know that he was a young man, and no doubt he started at the bottom as a servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar didn't just raise him up to that position. He started off as just a servant. And we know time passed. We don't know how much, but we know time passed. And Potiphar sees that the Lord is with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. Now we know again that when Potiphar first purchased Joseph, that he didn't put all into his hands. Joseph had to prove himself. He had to prove himself to Potiphar. And this took time, beloved. It took time. But we see in our text again that the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And this took time also, too. This took time as well. But Joseph had a right spirit within him, didn't he? He had a right spirit with him because the Lord was with him. And we'll see that God blessed Potiphar for Joseph's sake. For Joseph's sake. And we know that Joseph would do all that he was to do unto the Lord. He, just like a believer, when you're doing work, you do it unto the Lord. When Vicki and I were had our cleaning business, we did our work unto the Lord. He's our master, and I know you all do too. Where you do your job to the best of your ability, you do it unto the Lord. You do it unto Him. And Joseph, we know, looked to Christ. He's born again by the Holy Spirit of God. He looked to Christ. But Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. We see in verse 4 that Joseph found grace in Potiphar's sight. He found grace in Potiphar's sight. And he made Joseph overseer in his house over all that he had. Now remember, again, this took time, beloved. It took time. It didn't happen overnight. It took time. And Joseph would earn the trust of Potiphar, because this is what the Lord had ordained that Joseph would do. He was placed right where the Lord put him. And again, we see all this occurring to God's eternal purpose, His eternal plan. And we see that Joseph is placed in a high position as overseer in the house of Potiphar. And all that Potiphar had was placed in his hands. Look at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. Well, we find grace in the sight of God, don't we? And what do? We serve Him with glad hearts. With glad hearts. We pray to our great King. We give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, because He's our King. Again, when Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites, the Lord was with him. When he was on the slave block, the Lord was with him. When he was purchased by Potiphar, the Lord was with him. And now he's made overseer of all the house of Potiphar, and the Lord's with him. The Lord's with him. See, that never changes, does it? Remember this. Always remember this. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? Joseph is one of his sheep from eternity. And he's ever with him. The Lord's ever with Joseph. Ever with Joseph. And remember, the Lord is always with you who are born again. You who are a blood-washed child of God. Never forget that. Never forget that the saints of God, every one of us who believe, every one of us who are saved, have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We have all found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we see here again that that Joseph is a type of Christ, because all the Father, what has the Father given Christ? All power over everything. Christ is the great overseer over the household of God, isn't he? He's the great overseer. With that in mind, let's read verse 5. And it says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Now we know that Joseph looked to the Messiah. We know that he worshipped our God. We know that he worshipped the one true God, Jehovah. Jehovah is Joseph's abode. Jehovah is Joseph's comfort. Jehovah is Joseph's consolation. He looks to him just like we do, beloved. Abraham looked to God by faith, just like we do. I was talking to someone this week, and they were trying to tell me that the Old Testament saints, again, didn't have the Holy Spirit. And I was like, it's the same faith. They were granted the same faith we are. They had the same spirit we have as believers. And all the elect from all the ages are the bride of Christ. All of them. This fellow's trying to tell me that the Old Testament saints are friends of the bride. It's a landmark thing. It's a landmark Baptist thing that they do. And I said, that's just not true. The bride of Christ is composed of every believer of every age. Old Testament and New. And again, what do? You bring them to the Scripture, right? There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, Scythian, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. That means the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. Saved by the same Savior, regenerated by the same Spirit, and has the same Father. And all you can do is leave it there, you know, and because you can't argue with the Scripture, right? You can't argue with the Scripture. But you just, he was saved the same way we are. He is saved the same way we are. So Joseph would ascribe all his success, everything that he would do, all the fact that he prospered, he would ascribe all that to God, just like we do. We ascribe everything we have, everything we know, to God. To God. And he would do the same thing. But Potiphar, he saw that the Lord was with Joseph, so he put everything in his hands. Everything in his hands. And we see the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field for Joseph's sake. For Joseph's sake. Look at that in verse 5. "And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." Three little words. Why are we saved? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Because of what he's done. For Christ's sake. We're blessed because of what Christ has done. Because of what Christ has done. And Potiphar, he knew that the Lord was with Joseph. And so we see in verse 6 his reaction to the blessings that came from Joseph's sake. Look at this. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now note that. Potiphar knew that he could trust this young Hebrew man, so he put all things into Joseph's hands. And how great this trust was, as we see in the text, that Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Note that. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had." He fully trusted Joseph. He put it all in his hands. And he knew the blessings just kept coming and kept coming as Joseph had been his overseer. And we see in the text that he's just content to eat his meals. Look at this. "And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat." He's just content to sit there and eat his meals while the Lord blesses his house for Joseph's sake. Oh, how he trusted. How he trusted Joseph. And then he enjoyed what he had. And it says, "And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." But look at the verse there again. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. Now remember, I mentioned before that Joseph was a type of Christ our Lord, and the fact that all things were given into his hands by Potiphar. Our Lord was bought to a low estate, beloved. He was bought to a low estate. He condescended to come to this earth to save his people from their sins. Never forget what he left. He left the glories of heaven, if you're a believer, to save your soul. He condescended to a low estate. He's bought to a low estate. There's Joseph on the slave block. Can't get much lower than that, can you? Can't get much lower than that. Bought down from a position in his family as the well-beloved. Bought down. Our Lord was bought to a low estate, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And our great God has what now? Highly exalted him, hasn't he? He's highly exalted him now. And all things visible and invisible have been put in the sovereign hand of our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything is in his hands. Everything. There's nothing that's not in his control. All things are in his hand, visible and invisible. All things are subject to our great King. All things are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every blessing that we who are the born-again children of God have come to us because of what Christ did for Christ's sake, and comes to us in and through him. In and through him. We receive all our blessings from the Heavenly Father, and they're given to us for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who died in our place on Calvary. I was thinking about that this week. He died for my sins. All of them. All of them. Oh my. He redeemed my eternal soul. And the same for you if you're a believer. He died for all your sins. Every one. Ones that we know we do, and the ones even we don't know. Omission and commission, it's called. We sin in our sleep. We sin all the time. But he died for all my sins. And if he's a believer, he died for all yours. And God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect, wasn't he? He was perfect. He's sinless. He's God incarnate in the flesh. The God-man. Fully God and yet fully man. And he is the one who is risen. It is in absolute control over everything. He's the great overseer, beloved. Our Savior. Our Redeemer. In him, Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12. So all these things happened to Joseph. All these things happened to Joseph after the counsel of the will of God. Think of this too. Your salvation occurred according to the counsel and eternal purpose of God. It's humbling, isn't it? It's very humbling. But it makes us rejoice at the same time. It makes us rejoice. God our Father trusted Christ too, didn't he? When he sent him into this world. When he sent him into this world, he trusted the Son that he would accomplish everything that the eternal covenant of grace demanded in the place of his people. And Christ did it, didn't he? He did it. He did it. The second person of the Trinity came into this world and met all the conditions of the eternal covenant for every single one of his people. The eternal salvation, the redemption, the justification of God's chosen people was all put into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's prospered in his hands, hasn't it? Because he's accomplished that which the Father sent him to do. And it's only through Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that sinners are saved. The scriptures declare this: in whom ye also trusted. Writing of God's people. In whom, being Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. The scriptures proclaimed that tell us about Christ. The gospel of your salvation. Not somebody else's. Your salvation. Personal. Lazarus, come forth. Didn't cry out, open graves, did he? No, he called effectual the name of Lazarus. Just like he effectually calls every single one of his people. And the gospel becomes the gospel of your salvation. It's only through Christ and what he's done. But it's, you're the one who's saved, aren't you? By grace. I'm the one who's saved by the grace of God. That's what Paul's saying when he says the gospel of your salvation. In whom after ye believed, God's people will believe. If people don't believe on Christ, they're not saved. Folks often talk about this graveyard justification, where someone dies and all of a sudden, even though they lived a life where they hated God, all of a sudden, oh, they're in heaven. Something happened between the morgue and in the funeral home. No, that doesn't happen, does it? No. God's people who are saved believe on him while we're here on this earth. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on him. So Paul writes here, I'll go read it again. In whom, being Christ, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. The gospel was revealed to us. Our ears were opened by the Holy Spirit of God. We were regenerated by the power of God. The gospel of your salvation is personal. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It's all the work of God, beloved. It's all the work of God. And then in verse 14 of Ephesians 1, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now we see in our text that a wicked Egyptian trusted Joseph so much that he was content to leave Joseph in charge of all things. All things that pertained unto him and his household. How much more should we who are the children of God then be content to just trust our Lord, who is in charge of all things? Just rest. Just trust him. That's the hardest thing for us to do, beloved. It really is. It's the hardest thing for us to do, just trust him. But that's what we do, right? We just keep going to Christ. We just keep going to him. When we try to do things in our own flesh, we're always brought to a point where we just go, oh, Lord. I still haven't learned this lesson. No, we just trust him. We just trust him. May God give us grace to trust our great King. Just to rest in him. Just to repose in his eternal arms. Remember, we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and remnant, let us therewith be content. 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 and 8. Let us just be content. Let us just be content. And then look, it says in the latter part of verse 6 here, Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. We know that Joseph was only good and well-favored in Christ. Right? We know that. This speaks of his character too, though. And we'll see that in next week when he flees Potiphar's wife. When he flees her. He was a goodly person and well favored. And again, we're only good and well favored in Christ because the Father proclaims, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's only pleased with us in Christ. And then the Father says, hear ye him. Oh, may God give us hearing ears and hearts just to trust and rest in our great King. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the scriptures and how comforting they are and how they point us right to thee, Lord Jesus, right to you. May you be glorified and magnified through the preaching of your word today. May our hearts be lifted up and rejoicing, we who are your people, that you have shown us mercy and grace, that we found grace in your eyes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.